Well, I wanted to just share a little more on this, these words that the Lord gave me on He will never forget. You know, every time I begin to think about this and meditate on it, it stirs me because, number one, He took the time out to speak it to my heart. I heard it when I was waking up a few months ago. I kept hearing, He will never forget. And it began to stir my heart, and I began to, you know, sometimes that's the way the Lord speaks to me. Yes, He speaks to us in a variety of ways, but for me, a lot of times it's when I'm waking up in the morning, it's early, you know, I might be in a little light sleep, and I hear Him because our minds are quiet, right? We've slept, we're quiet. All of that busyness is not going around in your mind, and you're quiet. You know, sometimes it's, I've been in the shower, just quiet, not really thinking about anything, standing under the shower head, enjoying the warmth of the water, and He speaks to me. Why? Because our minds are quiet. Can be anywhere, I mean, but a lot of times when your mind is busy and racing and active and all of these things, sometimes it's not impossible, but you need to you know, you got all of these thoughts going on, and sometimes parsing out who's speaking sometimes can be difficult. So sometimes when we're quiet and our minds are quiet, I've heard Brother Hagin say this, you know, when he sometimes he'd be, you know, when he was young and in ministry, he would pray. He'd take the day and pray if he was ministering. And he said sometimes he'd be in this chapel or wherever he was ministering, and he'd be sitting there reading a chapter in the Bible, or he'd be on his knees reading a chapter in the Bible. And he said, I just got to the place where I was just laying on the floor, not thinking about anything. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to him about revelation in what he was reading. So he got quiet. And a lot of times, that's sometimes we need to have that space. And for me, you know, we have busy schedules, active life, and sometimes it's hard to find time or space where our minds are quiet. And sometimes, you know, you just have to find where that is and shut your mind down. And sometimes in bed is the best place where we're quiet. Sometimes it's a quiet place. So for me, I share all of that. That's what He was speaking to me. That's how that came to me. He'll never forget. And it began to help me see in the scripture, things that He will never forget. What did it do? It solidified some things for me. When you hear a word from the Lord by His Spirit, that revelation comes. It's more than just you reading it in the Bible. When you read it and He says, I will forget. See, He forgets what? Our sins. But boy, when He says, I'll never forget something, He will never forget that you are His child. He'll never forget that you are an heir of His and a joint heir with Jesus. He will never forget that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're marked. You're a marked woman or a marked man. You're marked by His Spirit. And He will never forget the blood of Jesus. So these things have more reality and more significance because He'll never forget. Think about, this is in the Passion Translation, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. It says, and He has entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animals, but the sacred blood of his own sacrifice, and he alone has made our salvation secure forever. He'll never forget. Our salvation is secure forever because of the blood of Jesus. It's secure. And so he'll never forget. He'll never forget that you are what? 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. He'll never forget that. We're his children. We're his body. We're righteous. We're right in his sight. What is Hebrews 13:5? He will never, what does it say? He will never forsake you, will never leave you, nor forsake you. He will what? Never. Say never. He will never leave me, or he will never forsake me. Never. Never. What does never mean? Never. Never. He will never leave me. So you're marked. He'll never forget that. He can't. What does Malachi 3:6 says? He says, I change not. James 1:17, same thing. He said, he's the God of spirits. He said, who's without what? Variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He does not change. He will not forget. All of the things that we go through in life, sometimes we think God has forgotten. He doesn't forget. And he will never forget each one of us. Where we are, what we're walking through, he doesn't forget. Hallelujah. Psalm 89:34, it says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. That reminds me of Isaiah 55:11. It says, my thoughts are what? Are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And what does it go on to say? As the rain cometh down from heaven and returneth not thither. He said, what? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but what? Accomplish that which I please. That which I send it to. Said it'll prosper. So one thing I wanted to just touch on a little bit today is that he will never forget our prayers. Prayers that are spoken or released in faith, he will never forget those. So I don't care how long it takes for you to see the fulfillment of it, he's not going to forget that. And one thing God is big on, and I just share this, is that he's big on what? Words. Words spoken in faith. God did what? In the book of beginnings, in Genesis. He spoke things into existence. What? He spoke the moon and the stars and the universe and this earth that we live in. He spoke that into existence. That which is seen was what? Made by that which is not seen. So we know that God spoke things into existence. We're what? We're made in his image and likeness. So what does that mean? I've heard one minister say this. We are speaking spirits. We are, God is a spirit, John 4:24 said, Jesus said, God is a spirit. If we're made in his image and likeness, that means the real me is a spirit, the one that lives on the inside. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And what? I live in this body. So I'm made in God's image and likeness. So that means God is desiring us just like Jesus was. He was a prototype of how man should operate in the earth. So what? Jesus did what? He spoke to things. He spoke to the winds. He spoke to disease. He spoke to demons. He did what? He spoke to the fig tree and cursed it. And so we are to do the same. We're to do what? Speak. Not think about it. Speak things and create. What does that mean, create? If we, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't create something. Really? Huh. Well, your words can create fear in your own life. Your words can create or stimulate anger. Or your words can create love or joy or peace. So you can create. And your words are more than just for communication. Your words are containers of the faith and things that come out of your spirit. So those words that we speak contain something that's spiritual that we release. Everybody understand that? You know, I know you know this. So our words, God, when he speaks something, it's spoken in faith, and it creates. Now, we're not creating worlds, but we sure do create something in our world with the words that we speak. And God can take those words and cause what? His promises to come into existence or reality in our lives. So that's where what he desires is he desires us to do what? To release words of faith so that he can be seen, his goodness can be seen here in the earth. That's what he desires. Hebrews 4:12. I like this. Talk about God's is big on words. Well, Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I like it in the Amplified Classic. It says, for the word of God, or for the word that God speaks. I like that. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the immortal spirit and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So the Word of God is full of power. It's full of power. Glory to God. And God has been stirring my heart that these things, I think God, as I'm hearing a number of ministers, get back to basics where the Bible's concerned. You know, we want more or new revelation. No, you need more revelation in what you already know. The basics of things. You know, you look at sometimes with people that are in professional sports, they never deviate from the basics. That's what makes them successful. They don't deviate from basics. Whether you're a basketball player or a football player or baseball player, they keep working on basics. To do what? Improve. And so the same thing, those things that we already know, we keep watering it by what? Feeding on the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing. What does that mean? You know, I heard somebody share something, a minister. He said, people have said faith can't grow or faith can't increase. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes when something is revealed to you. It's no longer logos, there's revelation, faith is there. It's how you got born again, in the sense where you saw your need. There was a revealing through somebody sharing something to you, or the Holy Spirit revealed to you, you needed salvation. And faith came so that you did what? Believed and confessed. So faith comes through revelation of the Word of God. So this person, this minister, asked the question, so then can revelation increase? And the answer is yes. So if revelation can increase, then faith can increase and grow. Where you are in your faith, the entrance of His Word brings light and revelation. So the more feeding, the more watering brings more revelation, causes faith to increase and grow. So that's why, you know, when we share about being in meetings and feeding on the Word of God so that you can grow in faith and you can grow in the Spirit, grow in spiritual things. And so God is looking for us to grow in this area. Now, let's turn over when we talk about, just going to jump back in here a moment, when we talk about God not forgetting our prayers, let's take a look at Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1. This is the story of Cornelius in Caesarea. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 1, and reading the first few verses here. I'll wait till you get there. I'm going to read it from the King James. And it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. This word alms means, if you read it up, it just means out of compassion to people that are in need. He gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And he doesn't say, and he exited stage right. Doesn't say he boogied out of there when he saw the angel. He didn't say, oh my God, what is that? What did it say? It says, he looked, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said unto him, and he said unto him, what? Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So don't think that your prayers, especially prayers that have been done in faith or released in faith, don't come up before God, and your giving, your alms, your giving in faith, don't think that that's not being kept a record of, because the Scripture says, store up for yourselves what? Treasure, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. So we know that our prayers and our alms, our giving, are come up before God, and there's a record of it. He does not forget. Something that is familiar, we're all familiar with this, it says in 1 John 5, chapter 14 and 15, it says what? This is the confidence that we have in him, in Christ, that if we ask, what does that mean? Ask, that word, if you look it up, it just means konosko. I believe it means, ask, it means to demand. And that word, so if we ask anything, that's what? His will. Anything according to his will, he does what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So that doesn't mean you pray and 3 years go by, 10 years go by, 20 years go by, 30 years go by, and you come to the conclusion that maybe God forgot. Nowhere in there does it say that. So if you are confident, and that's the key, if you are confident that what you prayed for was his will, then you rest and believe that it shall come to pass. It will come to pass. Now, if the Holy Ghost reveals something to you that maybe you've done, you need to alter your prayer, or he gives you additional revelation, then so be it. But other than that, if there's confidence involved, then there's faith involved. And what does the scripture say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we need to keep our hearts stirred. That's why when we release our faith concerning our giving, that we have to come and believe that I'm sowing this seed into the ground. You know, years ago, Brother Copeland, when he first came to the ministry, Kenneth Copeland, he shared something. I mean, we've kept all his prophetic words to the ministry, and Brother Hagen and others that have spoken, Fred Price. And one thing Brother Copeland shared, he said, every good seed that this ministry has planted shall come up. Every good seed shall come up. Well, I expect that. And so it's the same thing. You need to expect that every good seed that you've planted shall produce. No farmer goes out and sows seed and doesn't expect to harvest. That's a waste of time. You know, somebody shared this one time, a minister, I believe it was Reverend Mark Hankins. He shared this, he said, he was at a meeting and he asked, or somebody there was a farmer, and asked him, do you know what the most valuable piece of machinery is on a farm? And he said, no, I don't know. I'm not a farmer. He said, the machine that plants the seeds. He said, that's the most valuable piece of equipment. He said, and banks will lend hundreds of thousands of dollars to farmers for that machinery because they know if they don't have that, they can't plant hundreds and hundreds of acres to get a harvest. And he said, wow, I didn't know that. So that piece of equipment, that which sows, is valuable. You can't reap a harvest if you don't sow. So God gives us seed to sow. So that it says what? And bread for food. And he said he does what? Multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. So we have to have a determination that if I want to reap something, I've got to sow. Whether it's my time, whether it's my love, whether it's my finances, sowing and reaping is a spiritual principle. And in order for us to reap in the natural, we have to sow. You know, you just think about it. In the natural, you sow your time on your J-O-B so you get M-O-N-E-Y. You don't come in and go, show me the money, and they go, show me the work. So they're sowing so there can be reaping. And that's in the natural, and that's no different in the spiritual. You want God to bless you, and he goes, have you robbed me? That's what Malachi says. With what? Tithes and offerings. So a lot of us want to be blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. And we don't sow like we should sow. Thus, we reap little. And God has been stirring me lately. Increase in your giving. You know, and you go, Lord, you know, this isn't a great time. You don't care what you think. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. You decree with your words, I'm blessed. My bank accounts are full, and I'm decreeing it. And he's saying, give a little more. Increase in your giving so they can be. Is that register? See, you decree in faith something and expect it to come to pass, and the Holy Ghost will nudge you to do something in the natural so that it's fulfilled. That's what he does. He's our helper. So when we pray, he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. You know, I've told you this story. You know, I confess when the Lord spoke to me, this was years and years ago, probably 30-some years ago. I just began to laugh at some symptoms in my body. I just decided I'm going to laugh at them. And I began to laugh, and it stirred up laughter in me and stirred it up. And it took a while, but it stirred up, and I got over into holy laughter. And when that began to subside, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about not my physical condition. He began to speak to me about my finances. And he said, if you will work the word, see, work the word. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So I stopped, and when he said that, I went, I am not doing that. I've been working the word, speaking the word, confessing the word over my body, chasing sickness and symptoms out, and I've worked it, still work it. Sickness can't come on me, on my body. It may try, but it can't stay. I have dominion in the name of Jesus over sickness and disease because we've been given that authority. But I wasn't exercising it over my finances like that. And he said, if you'll do the same thing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That sounded like a pretty good deal to me. So what did I have to do? I had to change my mouth. I had to stop confessing lack, and I had to start saying with my mouth, I sow my seeds. I'm having an abundant harvest. My bank accounts are full. Everything I set my hands to is blessed. And so not long after that, I'm home, just quiet, and I heard down here, buy Apple stock. So I read newspapers, but I never read the Wall Street Journal. I never invested in stock. I had some because it was employee investment where I worked originally, but I had it. And when I left that company, I sold it and I reaped the benefit of it. But I never invested in stock. Just wasn't, people do. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. It just was something I never did. And the Holy Ghost said, buy Apple stock. And I ignored it. I did. It was just something different, something strange. And there was an element of I didn't obey it. And I didn't obey it right away. And I probably, at that time, I probably had about, this was 30-some years ago, I may have had maybe $5,000, $7,000 in the bank, just in sitting there doing nothing. This is 30-some years ago. And I could have taken that money and put it in Apple stock. Could have bought it. I wasn't hurting. I could have just invested it. I didn't. You know how much that stock was when he told me that? $40 a share. And I sat there and watched it go up and up and up and up to over 200. And all the while I'm going, forgive me, dumb. He was trying to get me the benefit from my words. My words were speaking, but I disobeyed his direction. I said, Lord, forgive me, I missed it. I won't do that again. And so there was an element of fear involved. It was different. It was new. I had never gotten that kind of direction before. You sometimes we cookie cutter. We think, oh, it's going to come this way. And when something comes over here, it's like, what is that? I don't know about that. I've heard Reverend Larry Hutton was here. He said the Lord told him one time, go buy this painting. He bought it for $15,000 and sold it for $75,000. So sometimes God will give us something that's unusual in the natural, but it's because we did what? We prayed, we released words, and we sowed some money or sowed our words, and God is watching over his word to bring it to pass. And we need to pay attention. That's why these meetings coming up, Life in the Spirit, it's so that we can develop in this area so we miss it less and less and less and less and less and less. So everything we do, we're benefiting. We're increasing. We're not like Mars the cat going up a little bit, back, up and back. And it's no, we're increasing. And so God is trying to bless us. And so when we pray something and in confidence, I believe that it's his will, he's heard me. You can expect to be directed. He's going to show you how to receive that something. You know, I share this. You know, it's you know, when I confess healing over my body, I remember there was a point where the Holy Ghost spoke to me. This is years ago, in 99, 2000, somewhere. So we're talking 22 years ago. My diet was not good. And I took some time to get that straightened out and have kept it right. But back then, you know, I like to say it was Snickers and Ring-Dings and whatever I could get to just keep running. And it was not a good diet. And so, you know, coffee and all of that. And my stomach got in distress. And I was in the shower, and the Holy Ghost said, if you don't go to this doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. So that was in July. So he's giving me 6 months. He's saying, if you don't get this checked, you will not live. And so I had been speaking the word so much that it took me 2 weeks to go get this checked. And so go through all of that, but it's being led by the Spirit of God. What's the right, you know how it is, you've all faced some kind of diagnosis, and it's, well, I go to this doctor, and this doctor said, do this. Well, that didn't help. Then you're going through a process. But the Holy Ghost knows what you need to do. So even in going to doctors, you need to be listening what to do. And so even me, I'm going, and this doctor, he's giving me all of this kind of stuff. And down here on the inside, I'm getting, nah, nope, you ain't it. And he was their top specialist, and I went, idiot. That's what I did. I said to myself, now, I may not have been nice or right, but I'm thinking, not for me, no, nope. So I left. I never came back. And so I ended up going, ultimately, because this doctor, all he kept speaking was negative, 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 negative words, death words. Now, he didn't know any better, but I just said, nope. And I left, and I ended up going to see a nutritionist / chiropractor. Now, you'd think, why would you go to that? Because I was led to. And I went, and the minute I walked in, he began to speak. He was a Christian. He began to speak words of life. He said, I'll have this turned around in a week. And I must have looked like, and he called me boy. He said, boy, do you know how many of these I've treated like this? I said, no, sir. He said, I've done over 7,000 like this in my career. He was up in his 70s. And in about a week, no more than 2 weeks, he had my stomach turned around. So it's finding the right person, hearing from heaven, and all I'm sharing is that when you pray and you believe God for something, whether it's for finances, whether it's for your health, for your marriage, for your children, for your job, when you believe God, then it's our responsibility to then be what? Directed by Him. He will then direct us in the right path to fulfill what we've prayed. He watches over His word to perform it. So don't you think He knows more than we do? So that if He watches over His word to bring it to pass, don't you think it's His place to show us a direction that maybe we don't know? And it might be a little strange, might be different. Right? So God is in the business of watching over His prayers, fulfilling them, and it's our responsibility to do what? Listen. Hebrews 10:23. Let us what? Hold fast the profession of our faith. What? Without wavering. No wavering. For He is what? Faithful that promised. Glory to God. So what am I sharing today? I'm sharing that God puts a lot of weight on words that we speak, words that we release in prayer that should be in faith. And we need to then believe that it's something that He's promised, that He's heard us, He's not going to forget, and He's going to do what? Bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is, he is going to bring it to pass. Our sufficiency, you know, there was something I was looking at this week. It says here, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. This is in the Passion Translation. We were sharing this before. It says, we carry this confidence in our heart because of our union with Christ before God. So our confidence comes through what? Our union, our relationship with God. So when we pray for something, we are confident that he heard us, that he's going to watch over it and fulfill it and cause it to come to pass. That's because of our union with him. In verse 5, it says, yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength, for our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. Even the ministry that was characterized by chiseled letters on stone tablets came with a dazzling measure of glory. Through it produced death. The Israelites couldn't bear to gaze on the glowing face of Moses because of the radiant splendor shining from his countenance, a glory destined to fade away. Now listen to this. So he's using a comparison here. He's saying Moses, when he was in the presence of God, they couldn't look upon him when he came down off the mountain. But it says, yet, how much more radiant is this new and glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us? So through our relationship with God, he lives in us, he works in us, he's our helper. He's going to help us in life. He will not forget the prayers that we pray. Not forget. And he's going to help us and lead us into the truth. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you that you're ever present with us by your Spirit. Thank you that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us. Thank you for revealing yourself in us in a greater way. You are real to us. We thank you that you reveal yourself to each one of us here individually. You direct our lives. You speak to us. You illuminate our minds and our hearts to the directions that we should go in life. And we thank you for empowering us with your presence, and we thank you that you are ever leading us into the truth of God's word, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God.